In 29 AD, the son of Zechariah and Elizabeth was in the wilderness, and the word of God came to him. John being in the wilderness is significant because it means that he's gotten away, taken time to be alone, to seek God. The great preacher and teacher Fred Craddock pointed out, the desert is not simply a place designation. It recalls Israel's formation as God's covenant people, and hence implies a return to God. That's where God made covenant with Moses and God's people Israel as they wandered in the wilderness. And now John is in the wilderness calling God's people to remember that covenant. And he drew crowds as he began preaching, calling for people to repent and prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. Luke tells us that John is preaching in the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas. Of course, only one person could be the high priest at any given time. Annas was only high priest from 7 to 14 AD, but then his four sons followed him, and when John actually began preaching, Caiaphas, his son-in-law, was holding the office. But of course, throughout all of that time, Annas was really the one who wielded the power, and the people were tired. They longed for authenticity, for sincerity in religion. They knew that the system was corrupt. They longed for God to raise up a Messiah to overturn both the political power of the Roman Empire and the religious power of the temple. New Testament scholar N.T. Wright says, behind Luke's list of names and places is a story of oppression and misery that was building up to the point of explosion. Popular movements of resistance had come and they had gone. In some cases, they had been brutally put down. But everybody knew that they just couldn't keep living the way that they were living. They couldn't go on. Something had to happen. But what? They longed for someone who believed what he preached, who brought a fresh word from God, who would lead the Jewish people in a revival of faithfulness. And the word of God came to John, and crowds gathered to hear him preach and to be baptized. Baptism wasn't a new practice, but this baptism symbolized washing clean of individual sinfulness and also washing all of that tarnish that had gathered on their corporate relationship with God, as the temple had become a religious institution rather than a gathering place for God's people. And so the people are coming, streaming out of the city and the towns to hear John preach and be baptized because they're ready for that change, for their lives to change, for the system to change. And John quotes the prophet Isaiah, prepare the way for the Lord. Yes, thought the people. The Messiah is on the way. Here it comes. Yes. Now today, when an important person travels, preparation work has to happen ahead of time. The easiest for me to look up was the president. When the president of the United States travels someplace, there's always an advance team that goes ahead, right? Often 3 months ahead of time. I didn't realize it was 3 months early. They meet with the local authorities and with the possible troublemakers in the area to warn them that they're being watched. They set up canopies any place where the president is going to be exposed so that he is not exposed when he's out of the car. They notify hospitals. They put surgeons on notice. They bring in a backup Air Force One. They bring in extra helicopters and equipment and the limo, and they shut down the streets, and they background check the employees at the hotel, and they clear 3 floors of the hotel where he will stay. They throw out all of the electrical equipment in those 3 floors, and then they disassemble the picture frames and check them and reassemble them. They take over the food service areas, and they set up perimeters. Not to mention what happens in a small town when the president comes for a visit. The streets are cleaned, the flags are bought new, the planters are filled with flowers that are blooming, Well, it wasn't different in ancient times. When the ruler was coming to pay a visit in your part of the realm, you got ready. An advance team went ahead to get everything prepared for the king's arrival. The roads that the ruler would take had to be repaired. The valleys had to be filled in. The mountains and the hills had to be cut down. The crooked places had to be straightened, and the rough places smoothed, because when the royal person traveled, they traveled a nice, smooth, straight, even road. Now, when we were visiting the Caribbean one time, we were in the van and we saw these people, men, on the side of the road, and they had shovels. And our van driver said, yeah, if you tip them, then they'll fill in the potholes with dirt. And that was their job, was that when a van came along of tourists and you tipped them, then they would get dirt and they would fill in the pothole and you could continue to go. Of course, what happened the next time it rained? The potholes came right back. Kept them in a job. It was a good deal. Well, that's what the temple authorities were doing. They were shoveling dirt into potholes in people's lives. In exchange for your wrongdoing, offer a sacrifice and then go about your life. And then when you get a pothole again, return and offer another sacrifice. But John calls for a major construction project. Barclay writes, the preparation on which John insisted was a preparation of heart and life. The king is coming, he said. Mend not your roads, but your lives. There is laid on every one of us the perennial duty of seeking to make life fit for the king to see. What are the potholes and the valleys in your life? The beaten down, worn out places that need to be filled in? And where are the hills and the mountains of pride and self-reliance, the facades of perfection, the displays of trophies that need to be bulldozed? What in us is crooked, serpentine, dishonest, that needs to be trued up, straightened out? Where are the rough spots that are in need of smoothing? This is the work of Advent. Episcopal priest Robert Dannels writes, John the Baptist knows that we need a period of in-between time to consider the condition of our world, our wrongdoing, our regret, the damage caused by the human condition, what we've said and done, and what we've left unsaid and undone. But as I read this passage in preparation for Advent, I kept having the familiar words of Clement Clark Moore dance in my head. Juxtaposed between John the Baptist saying, prepare the way, were the words, 'twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hope. Prepare the way. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hope. What is our hope this Advent? What will we do with care as we get ready for Christmas to come? Not the kind of getting ready that washes out with the rain, but the kind of getting ready that truly prepares for the coming of the Lord. Living in the in-between time is not only a time of waiting for God to come, but also a time of us preparing for God to come. Not just because we want God to come and make our world right, but because God is coming and using us to make our world right. And yet, as we get ready for Christmas, we have a tendency to settle in, with the lights twinkling on the tree, the presents beautifully wrapped beneath, with the stockings hung by the chimney with care, and the baby lying in the manger scene, and to put all of the potholes and the rough places and the speed bumps in our lives and the mountains and the crooked places somewhere in the back of our thoughts. Our tendency is to sing, O Little Town of Bethlehem, and imagine the snow gently wafting down to the earth, just to blanket it beautifully over a peaceful, sleeping town. Each of you today will get a bottle like this as you leave. And I invite you to watch it settle every day between now and Christmas. But I invite you to think about the comfort in our world and the fact that John the Baptist calls us to look at the uncomfortable. As you watch the swirling and the settling, what valleys, what low places in your life need to be filled in? What hurts can you help in someone else's life? What healing can you bring? As you watch the swirling and the settling, what mountains and hills, what built up places, what in our world can you even out? What pride can you topple, hierarchy level? As you watch the swirling and settling, what crooked places will you straighten? What wrongs will you make right? What dishonesty will you set straight? And as you watch the swirling and the settling, what rough places will you smooth? What relationships that have gone wrong will you go back to? Smooth out. Prepare the way of the Lord. The stockings are hung by the chimney with care, in hopes. How are you preparing the way for the Lord? For the King is coming. Thanks be to God. Amen.